Hi everyone, welcome to the Deep Psychology Podcast. I'm your host, Ross Edwards, and today we're continuing our Levels of Consciousness series by looking at the pre-conventional levels of consciousness, which you can think of as the first building blocks in the human psyche. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, which is the first in this series, I recommend you go and do that after this one. The first one is called What Are the Levels of Consciousness, and that's really fundamental to understanding everything we're going to be talking about this month. So there are three pre-conventional levels, and we're going to cover them all today. They are called beige, purple, and red. Those are just labels, they're colours we give just to like make the communication easier. Beige is also called archaic, and it's also given the colour infrared. This first comes online at birth for humans. Purple is also called the magic stage, as we will discover soon. It's also given the color magenta, and it comes online first between 1 and 2 years old. And finally, red is called magic mythic, and it first comes online around 2 years old. Before we go into the levels themselves, we're going to look at what pre-conventional actually means, because if we're going to talk about the pre-conventional levels, we've got to know what makes them pre-conventional and not conventional, for example. Just before we do that, a quick message from my sponsor, Spirit Quest Tours, which takes small groups on exclusive sacred journeys to Egypt, Peru, and Turkey. Get $500 off your next trip by using the discount code ROSS on the booking page linked below. I also want to say I've got new long-form episodes every Wednesday, with snippets on Thursday, Sunday, and Tuesday, all at 9 p.m. Central European Time, 8 p.m. UK Time, and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure to subscribe on Apple or Spotify. If this resonates, my fortnightly newsletter is the best place to follow my latest thinking. You'll find a link in the description to that, and you can find my books via the same link if you want to go really deep with my work. And of course, I encourage you to listen to the entire Levels of Consciousness series, 151 to 155. You can scroll down or search the title on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. So let's move on to the general features of the pre-conventional levels. So when I say that, I just mean, what makes a pre-conventional level pre-conventional? Well, for one thing, they tend to dominate in early childhood and then they fade away for most people. However, there's still many adults that read. There are still countries that are predominantly red. There are subcultures that are red, for example, there are certainly... The purple stage lives on in culture and in our psyches. And the beige stage, it's there in babies and infants and even in adults with severe issues and so on and so forth. So it's pretty conventional because it tends to come on very early in life and it tends to fade early in life as well. But that's not a strict rule, it's just a rule of thumb. It's pre-conventional because it's pre-rational, pre-logical. The self-other boundary is quite flimsy. That is, there's not a sense of a self and an other in the way that an adult would experience. You can also call these levels pre-civilized or uncivilized or pre-socialized. So it's like the person has yet to sort of learn how to function on their own in ordinary society. And it might sound like quite a trivial thing, but actually we go through several developmental stages until we're able to do that. And of course, when we're born, we're not able to do the most simple things. And we don't have like the psychological machinery, so to speak, that we need in order to function in society. You can think of the pre-conventional levels. I like to think of it like this. So you're born, right? You don't really have a mind. You don't have a sense of who you are. You don't have a sense of the world around you, which we're going to talk about more when we talk about the beige stage in particular. You can think of your experience as this just pure, undivided consciousness or oneness or indistinct sort of soup in which you don't perceive the world to be separate from you. You don't really perceive yourself to have a body, even. Because to say you have a body is to realize that the body is actually distinct from your environment, which sounds quite obvious, but it's not obvious because babies do not have that, for example. And then what's happening through the pre-conventional levels is from that indistinct matrix, we might call it, of experience, our senses, our body, our mind, of whatever we have of it, all mixed up and not differentiated, the self is being formed or bootstrapped slowly. And from within what is really an undivided like continuum, if you will, we get a sense of self, we get a sense of other, we get a sense of our mind, we get our body, sense of having a body, and everything that goes along with that. We get our human identity. So do not underestimate what is going on at pre-conventional. Like there are several huge paradigm shifts occurring here. And by the end of it, we have a self. We have the ability to look after ourselves in the world, to see other people as people with their own desires and needs, to cooperate with other people, to have a healthy sense of belonging. If everything goes to plan, of course, it never does, but that's sort of the objective of this. There are adults at these stages that are centered at these stages. What the research tends to show is that such adults have great trouble fitting in with society or are highly dependent on other people. And that's not to pathologize the stages, but it's also just kind of set a boundary and say, we call them early stages for a reason, because they are not enough for us to function as adults. And so if you want to function as an adult, or if you are functioning as an adult, these stages are integrated within you. I also like to think, you know, we use the word pre-conventional. So pre means before, and conventional means something very specific in development, which we're going to cover next week in our episodes on the conventional levels. Conventional just means that you see the world like, you know, the average person in society does. Your desires are pretty much, you know, your desires fit in with the surround. You can communicate, you can participate in society, you can fit into the group, you have a sense of belonging. Your epistemological views are conventional, that is, they're not, they're enough so that you can function in the world, but they're maybe not particularly advanced, or they're maybe not particularly groundbreaking. They're not really going beyond the conventional levels. And basically we can think of the pre-conventional stages as this is the mind growing up towards being able to participate in conventional life. And you'll understand exactly what that means, because I don't just mean, you know, you could say, oh, that just means having a family and having children and having a job. I mean, yes, of course, that's conventional life, but it's not just, you know, it's not just having these things. It's all the psychological machinery that is required that, of course, we take for granted as adults. And it's also the limitations of conventional development that we maybe don't realize if we are at conventional levels. It's realizing that, yes, the mind grows up into conventional levels, but does that mean that we shouldn't grow further? That's one of the main issues I have with sort of normal theories of psychological development, is they just kind of paint conventional development as being the normal, as being sort of the peak, when that really isn't the case. It's just a limitation of developmental psychology. The worldview, motivations, epistemology, and really all developmental facets are starkly different at the pre-conventional level. So if you're at conventional or beyond post-conventional, and you'll find out more accurately if that's the case in the coming episodes this month, if you're here, it's going to be really hard for you to really appreciate what it means to be pre-conventional unless you have children, unless you remember, unless you look after someone that is at one of these stages, or unless you just have some sort of first-hand experience of it, or unless you've like studied the hell out of this stuff. It's going to be really hard for you to imagine it because your perception is so different. Your perception of the world is very different in ways that are hard to understand without being inside them, okay? So when we're talking about these things, I really want you to kind of put yourself in the position of a young child at these levels or an adult at these levels, because only then can you really understand what perhaps the person experiences. Now, obviously, you're still just kind of approximating it and guessing, but even just being curious and open and asking yourself and trying to really empathize is a good exercise, because it helps you understand what these levels actually are on their own terms. Also interesting to note that these pre-conventional levels, they correlate with humanity's past. So if you look back in human history, you'll see the beige phase of human history, which is really the most basic form of civilization, which was when we were hunter-gatherers and we lived in very small groups with not much culture and not even, you know, buildings really, not really much farming going on, just like living day to day on the savannah, and human lifespans were pretty short and it was a very precarious form of existence. And in purple is a bit more, we'll get into this later, but you know, after that, society became a bit more complex and art started to evolve, and people started living in more permanent settlements. They started planning a bit more and society's got a little bit bigger, and we started farming plants and so on, not with plows or anything, but, you know, just basic tools. And then red comes online when humans really start to begin to dominate nature a little bit more, to be able to farm more effectively, to be able to defend themselves effectively, to be able to create settlements, to create societies. And in fact, the way societies ran back then in sort of the Bronze Age time was that basically the people with the power ran the show. And you'd say, well, that's what it's like now. Yes, but power really came down to who can slit your throat more effectively. it's not financial power like it is now, or familial. It's really comes down to like brute force power. Because think of it, that was pre-civilization still. That was before the laws, that was before human rights and modern governance and modern legal structures and all the rest of it. It was a different, really different time. And things ran on loyalty to whoever had power, basically. So anyways, you can see these going back into the past, and but they still live on, as we'll talk about when we get to each of the levels. One little thing I want to say is that whenever we talk about, this is true for all levels of development, but it will help you understand the pre-conventional levels, which are difficult to understand. I want you to realize that self and other, you know, the way we view ourselves and the way we view the world around us are like convex and concave. So if I view the world as a threatening place, just an example, if I view the world as a threatening place, then I'll view myself as vulnerable, right? Because who's being threatened? Ultimately, it's me. I'm the one seeing the world, right? So self and other is convex and concave. So whenever we describe one of those, we're also describing the other implicitly. right? So whenever I'm describing the beige or purple or red, you have to realize that if I'm describing self or other, I'm also describing the other one. And self and other fit together like convex and concave. It's just something to keep in mind because there's a consistency here. It's not just random. I also want to say that these levels quite obviously correlate with cognitive development, physical development, language development, and so on and so forth. Like the cognitive development required for language is not available at beige, for example, which explains a lot of beige behavior. But we can't reduce beige behavior just to that. It gives us another sort of perspective on why beige is the way it is. And actually, at one point, I've sort of realized that you cannot fully comprehend why these stages are the way they are. Well, maybe you can, but I've tried for a long time. At some point, you just kind of have to accept that that's what they are. And that there's no one factor that leads to the sort of construction of the stage or to the facets. So, before we just, I promise we're getting there. Just before we get to beige, purple and red, I want to explain why are we learning about these stages, because they might sound really simplistic when we look at them. And I've said, oh, they appear mostly in children, or they appear in like disabled people, or they appear in like human past. And it's like, why are we doing it then? Well, first of all, you've been through them, right? So you might not be at pre-conventional now, but you certainly were, right? Otherwise you wouldn't be at conventional or post-conventional, wherever you are now. So you've been through them. So isn't that nice to understand where you've been in your developmental journey? Which, as I said, is really one of those defining journeys we go on as humans. Second of all, you get a full understanding of human development. It's really no use to, in my opinion, it's not really any use to learn about conventional and post-conventional if you don't understand what pre-conventional is, because you don't have the contrast, right? And you don't fully understand the context, and you maybe just take for granted that somehow we end up at conventional. And no, it actually doesn't work like that. We start at ground zero. We start with absolutely nothing. And from there, our entire mind, our entire psyche, and our entire sense of identity develop. Right, so you're gonna get a full understanding, and with that understanding, you're gonna more genuinely comprehend what conventional and post-conventional are, and how complex they are in a certain way, and where they fit into the entire scheme. I also want to say that these stages might not dominate your mind now, but they did at some point, as we mentioned. And they live on inside you. So what tends to happen with these phases is that we go through them. There's like a period in it, as we spoke about last week, I spoke about this last week in some depth, that they dominate our life chronologically for a certain period of time, and then we move on. And these phases in our lives are pretty obvious when we look back. But the stage and this sort of psychological structure underlying it doesn't really disappear. It gets sort of integrated behind the scenes into who we are, right? So beige, purple and red all are still there in you, and you wouldn't be at your current stage now if that wasn't the case. If they just fell away, your current stage would fall away as well. It also opens your mind, because these stages' worldviews and their motivations and so on are wildly different. And to me, it makes me ask, is it because they perceive the world differently from me? Or is it because their world is actually radically different from mine? And those might sound like the same question, but they're not. Because if we say they perceive the world differently, we are claiming there is a world. But if I say their world is radically different, the implication is that there is no single world that we all perceive, right? and the consequences of that are massive. Finally, it helps you understand the people around you, like children, babies, the elderly, or selfish people, for example, or people who have difficulties, like mental difficulties and so on. Learning about these stages can help you understand what these people are, what life is for them, and how they perceive things and how they perceive the world and what it's like to be a self at each of these levels. So for all those reasons, we're going to learn about post-conventional development. A big warning before we get going with this is try to avoid projecting your later stage interpretations onto these levels. Like, what I notice people doing, especially at post-conventional, early post-conventional levels, is that they romanticize these early levels and they claim them to be like spiritual, and they claim them to be like harmless, and they claim that things like, oh, babies are selfless and so on. You see, this is a big problem because you're projecting your own mind onto them. You don't know what it's like to be a baby. Like, you might think babies are selfless, but I would argue that they're selfless not in a caring way. They're selfless because they don't have a sense of self. So it's not that they care about other people. They simply don't even have a self that they care about. And there's no person there thinking about all this. They're just there, right? So it's not... And in any case, what does it mean to say a baby is selfless? I mean, what do babies really do? They don't do anything. They depend on other people all the time. I'm just saying this because I've seen this so often. And that baby example is just one example. But you can do this with pretty much any of the aspects that we're going to be talking about. You can project all sorts of stuff onto them that are not really about that stage itself. It's your own interpretation, and it's coming from later stage development. And the trap here is to want to like go back to beige or purple or red, when in fact the way out of conventional development, which is what post-conventional people really sort of rally against, is post-conventional. It's to go further and further into post-conventional development. It's not to go back, right? So anyway, that said, let's move into the first stage of the pre-conventional levels. This is beige, also called archaic, symbiotic, and it's also given the color infrared. We can sum up this stage as pure unconscious unity, or the primordial matrix, because there's no sense of self, and if there's no sense of self, because self and other are convex and concave, they are mirror images of each other, there's no sense of other either. There's no sense of self, there's no sense of other, there's no concepts, there's no language, therefore, there's no sense of past and future. Babies are the perfect example of the beige stage, because when you look at a baby, you don't really get the sense that they know who they are or what it means to be alive, or that they really know who you are. Their concern is with their most basic needs, and they have a very crude sense of the world around them. Communication is very minimal at this stage, and it really just revolves around basic needs being met. So in babies, for example, it's, you know, I notice there's a sensation of hunger, and then I know that if I cry, well, this isn't a conscious thing, this is happens unconsciously, but the crying is a way to attract attention so that whoever is around me will satisfy my need, okay? So it's funny because this stage is so psychologically unsophisticated, and I don't mean that in a judgmental way, I just mean that, you know, when we're in psychology, we analyze people's minds, their psyches. It's about understanding why people are as they are. With beige, there's nothing really there, you see, because again, the individual or the baby or the person is just in a state of complete embeddedness with the environment around them, and they simply there's no sort of mental capacity to interact, to be a self, to sense other, to have a worldview. These things just don't exist, and even if they did, they can't communicate what those are. So that's beige. You can think of this as like background human consciousness, but not in like a sense of like being spiritually awake or being enlightened or being aware of what this consciousness is. It's just the consciousness with no real reflexive awareness of that. Before we move on to the purple stage, a quick message from my sponsor, Spirit Quest Tours, which takes small groups on exclusive sacred journeys to Egypt, Peru, and Turkey. Get $500 off your next trip by using the discount code ROSS on the booking page linked below. So let's talk about the purple phase, the second phase of pre-conventional development. This is called magic, and it's also given the color magenta. So at purple, this is where mind and concepts first appear. And one of the crucial features of this stage, and I actually have a whole episode on this, is magical thinking. So if you search deep psychology, magical thinking, you should find my episode on that if you're interested. The easiest way to understand this is to think about how young children tend to think. The magical phase is a very well-documented phase of human psychology, and it's when children think in a way that is unhindered by reality, by the laws of causality. It's like they don't perceive or understand the laws of causality. At least that's our view from a later stage of development. So, for example, what magical thinking does is it'll take the symbol of an object for the object itself. So, for example, a person with a cape is understood as being an actual wizard, not just a person with a cape. So if I put a cape on, or daddy puts a cape on and a hat, a pointy hat, they're a wizard and they can perform magical, they have magical abilities and so on. So there's this strange kind of thing going on where young children simply do not perceive the laws of causality in the same ways that adults do. And for example, they'll see cartoon characters not as being cartoon characters, but as being actually real and alive in the same way that a human is alive, which is why, cartoons appeal very greatly at a certain age to children. And then once you get older, it's like, well, this is a lot of nonsense, it's boring, and it doesn't make any sense. But you have to realize that the mind and concepts are just appearing, and they are not yet fully differentiated from, shall we say, the sense of self and the body. And there's not the sort of crystallization, right? So the imagination runs wild a little bit, you might say. There's a beginning differentiation of self and other. The child can use I, me, and mine. It can talk about its desires, and it's typically governed by its impulses and desires without being able to actually get what they want very well, because they don't understand the world in a way that an adult would understand the world in the most basic ways that we take for granted. Like, if a child wants biscuits, it's very unlikely that they're actually going to realize if I get a chair and I stand on the chair and I open the right cupboard, then I might just get my biscuits. It sounds silly, but children don't understand that, and instead they'll start, they'll shout and they'll cry and this and that, and trying to get what they want. So the impulse is there. It's just they don't quite have the resources in the way that an adult would at a later stage of development. Consciousness, you know, if we think back to Beige, consciousness was undivided, but it was also sort of asleep to itself, because like a baby, for example, doesn't have any self-reflexive awareness as far as we know, right? Now consciousness is a bit more awake, a bit more aware of itself. It's starting to, like, there's starting to be awareness of the fact there's awareness. You know, the person's starting to have a name, they're starting to say what they want, they're starting to, like, name their experience separate from the experience themselves. But there's still great fusion here. And there's a mental splitting, but there isn't quite a... Like, the mind has come online, but it's not been quite differentiated from the world around it, nor from the body. That's why the imagination can run wild, because it's not yet sort of constrained by, ordinary causality. Children and, well, adults and tribes and so on that are operating from this stage, they tend to see the world as being governed by spirits and forces and magical beings with magical powers. That's basically their worldview. We can call this still a zeroth, meaning zero person perspective, as in zero with th for the order, like zeroth first. It's like a zeroth person perspective still, because the self is still too flimsy for a real sense of self to be there, and a sense of people as being others. It's still not quite been established, even though there is a bit of a more mental complexity than at Beige. In history, we see this in, like, the tribal period, where humans lived in small tribes, and they maybe did some farming, horticultural production, but still not very complex, still not a lot of, like, complicated planning going on, still not, like, huge social structures. And the world that we create is a reflection of our own world. And, the lack of complexity on the outside reflects the lack of complexity on the inside. This is pre-civilization. Like, it's based in pre-civilized sort of levels of human socio-economic or social-cultural development, I should say. But it still lives on, you know. We still have magical thinking all the time. We talk about destiny, we talk about lucky charms, we have superstitions, don't walk over three drains in a row. If you don't know that one, it depends on what country you're in, but certainly where I grew up, that was a thing. If you have three drains in a row on the pavement or the sidewalk, if you're American, you're supposed to not walk over them because it's supposed to be bad luck. You know, things like don't let a black cat cross your path. You see, all of this is magical thinking, but because it's superstitious, and it's not really based on causality. It's just based on thinking that doing one thing will affect something else for, we don't know why, what reason, but it just does, right? And magical thinking isn't quite like that, but it's very similar. And, these things are a way of getting in touch with magic, even if you're not quite sure what the magical stage is from within. So let's move on to the red stage. This is called the magic mythic stage. So there's still a lot of magic in it, but it's also starting to become a little bit mythic, which is reaching into the conventional level. So this is the last stage in the pre-conventional levels. So here the self is more mentally and physically differentiated than at purple. There's a sense of me being a person that has certain desires, while others are other people with their own desires. And that might sound silly, but that does not exist at prior levels of development. And because of this, life starts to appear as like this battle of wills, as like a jungle, as, you know, it's either me or them. It's me against the world. It's me against everyone else, because here I am. I've got my desires, and the others have got their own desires. And you see it's still a very impulsive stage, right? You know, the magic is just below it. All this impulse and the desire without really being able to get it is now still there, but it's now associated with an actual self, right? There's a sense of being a person. It's like you identify with your body, you identify with your mind, and you identify with your own desires, which is a huge step forward, but it brings problems. The person can impose their wants on the world in a more coherent form for the first time. You can think of this as the first true first person perspective, or we could consider it the first true egocentric perspective. So from the first person perspective, the world is organized around you. Now, this isn't necessarily an evil thing. It just means that they're not really able to consider others or cooperate with them very well. It's just their own desires take priority over other people's desires, and they can't really understand why they would want to pay attention to other people's desires at the same time, right? So what you'll realize with people at red is that they can be quite selfish, they can be quite manipulative, they can lie, and they can scheme to win out over other people. And there is some finesse involved, but often it's like quite brutish and quite sort of not very sophisticated. And it's all done in the name of satisfying my own desires above everyone else's. There's this term that gets used a lot by Ken Wilber, which is power gods. So basically, what happens at this stage, like for example, if you look at prison culture, where red is very rampant because it is a genuinely threatening environment, where it's you versus other people. Now, does that mean that people in prison are all just at red and are all egocentric and they can't understand other people? No, it's more nuanced than that. At the end of the day, these people are adults. A lot of them have genuinely reached probably conventional levels, but in the prison environment, it activates red functioning. So it's a good way to look at what red means in adults. And anyways, like you look at prison culture, you look at gang culture, they have their rituals and their tattoos and like their totems, and they're sort of, what they're doing is they're sort of trying to align with some all-powerful force, you know, the force of power, the force of justice. You know, this, it doesn't even need to be a religious thing. It can be like a kind of, it can even be like an animal that they associate with, like the powerful tiger or the powerful like demon or something like this. But you know, they all have this tattoo and they all use that word. And what they basically, the way they understand the world is that it's about power, and there's a force that contains all that power, and we're trying to align with it. Now, this is more general, because when I say power gods, what I mean is that in human history, this is for a long time how humans used to see the divine and the all-powerful, the ever-present, if you want to say it like that. They saw it as a terrible force to be reckoned with and to appease and to get on the right side of. And this explains why. This stage comes online for the first time in the terrible twos. Child has their impulses and they're desperately trying to get them met, and they're quite egocentric and quite selfish about it, and they'll manipulate and they'll scream and they'll shout and they're lying, and it's a bit more sophisticated than before, but also not very much. In fact, I've seen this persist in children, even if they're sort of, they're conventional enough. It's like the red is still there. They're still quite manipulative, and they'll, they want to get their way, and they don't understand, like, delaying gratification and so on and things like that. It's usually sort of subsumed by conventional stages, because conventional stages really, they really, what's the word? They sort of de-intensify the impulsiveness of the pre-conventional levels. And so by the time a child is like, say, 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, the red has really dimmed, and they're now in a conventional stage of development. But it also tends to come back in sort of adolescence, where the child becomes rebellious, and they start acting out against their parents, and it's they they're they don't really care about their parents a lot of the time, and it's like all they want to do is they just want to be with their friends, and they want to drink, and they want to have sex, and all of this, and to hell with what the parents say. See, this is kind of a red impulse. It's more sophisticated red, because obviously an adolescent knows more about how to get their needs met than like a 2-year-old does, but ultimately it's still red. It's still got that sort of impulsiveness and that sort of need to have their desires satisfied. Red is often prone to outbursts and rage, because again, it can't consider other people's perspective very well. It doesn't understand. It's more sophisticated than, say, purple. And especially, if this is like an adult we're talking about, it's certainly more sophisticated than like a 2-year-old who is at red, but still not very sophisticated and not very good at delaying gratification. So if a red person is trying to get what they want and you do not give them it, they'll often respond with rage and outbursts, because they feel threatened, and if they can't overcome you to get to their desire, to get their desire met, they don't have much recourse otherwise. And one of the easiest ways to detect a red person or red aspects of people is just look at how do they communicate with other people. Do they communicate with other people as though they are a threat to their own desires being met? Do they respect other people? Can they take other people into consideration? How impulsive are they? And these sorts of questions. And it's actually very revealing, because you can see red in a lot of people who are otherwise, very capable and even like successful in the conventional sense of the word, but they can have a pretty strong red underbelly. Before we get to the final comments and sort of the deeper lessons to take from the pre-conventional levels, a quick message from my sponsor, Spirit Quest Tours, which takes small groups on exclusive sacred journeys to Egypt, Peru, and Turkey. Get $500 off your next trip by using the discount code ROSS on the booking page linked below. So, what do we take away from the pre-conventional levels? And are there any deeper things to ponder here? Well, of course there are, otherwise I wouldn't have said that. Ha! One thing I think is important to notice is that there's nothing particularly profound about these stages in and of themselves. In terms of developmental psychology, they are really the basic building blocks of the human psyche. Not to dismiss them, but just to realize that, you've kind of got to take them for what they are. It's hard to appreciate them from the outside. They can seem sort of cartoony, because if you meet like a purple or red person, it's kind of like, how can they see the world in such a simplistic way? But that's how they see the world, and that's how their psyche is. And again, at a certain point, you just kind of have to realize that that is what it is. Like, it's nothing more complicated than that. Whether that's productive or not is another question. where I think it's really fascinating to learn about these stages is to consider sort of the epistemological implications of these stages. Because listen, if you're an adult and you're at least at a conventional level of development, which I'm assuming vast majority of people are, my listeners are, if that's you, then you might be sitting here wondering, like, how can a beige person not have a sense of self and not have a sense of other and not be able to talk and communicate? How can a purple person think that the world is governed by magical forces? And how can they think that putting a cape on makes me a magician and so on? And how can a red person, you know, see the world as like a battle of wills? But what I want you to, like, for one thing, it's quite incredible that human perception can be genuinely organized around this, and that actually it's necessary, because these stages are necessary for us to grow further, right? You can't get to conventional without pre-conventional, for example. Like, the main question that I ask myself is, how is it possible for them to perceive a world like that? If the world I perceive seems so different, how is it that at some point in my life I literally perceived that there was no such thing as me and there was no such thing as other people in the way that I understand now? How is that possible? Is it because I wasn't perceiving the world properly? Is it because, or is it because the world was simply different? Like, I was literally in a different world. And I don't mean, you know, I wasn't a human being, I wasn't alive in the way that I understand now. What I'm saying is, the world is not, what my deeper point is these stages suggest to me that the world is not actually a certain way. You know, we think the world is a certain way because of the level of development that we're at, and because like our general frameworks for how the world is in the most basic ways that we take for granted all the time are based on conventional levels, then of course it looks like pre-conventional is not perceiving the world correctly. But again, you have to take into account the context of that, which is conventional development. Like, if there's no conventional development, you cannot say that pre-conventional is perceiving the world incorrectly. So it makes me ask the question, what is the world? Like, what is the world that you live in? Is the world like that by default? Like, whether you know or not you perceive it that way, it is just that way. Or is it that your level of development actually defines what the world is? Not just how you perceive it, but what the world actually is. And those might seem like, it might seem like an insignificant question, but if you really, like, think about that and let that question marinate in you, you'll realize that actually this defines your entire life. Because if the world is not a certain way independent of you, what we can basically say is that you define what the world is, not in a sort of magical way, not in a law of attraction way, but simply that your mind is configured in a certain way that is how it, that means that that's how you perceive in a world that matches that. You see, remember that self and other are convex and concave, they're mirror images of one another. So if yourself is a certain way, the world has to be a certain way as well. And that includes all the assumptions we make about consensus reality. But anyways, I'll leave you with that contemplation, because I really think that's like the most interesting part of learning about pre-conventional. We will be back next week to talk about the conventional levels of development. Remember that I've got new long form episodes every Wednesday with snippets on Thursday, Sunday and Tuesday. Don't miss those. Everything comes out at 9 p.m. Central European time, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If this resonates, my fortnightly newsletter is the best place to follow my latest thinking. You'll find a link in the description to that. And you can find my books there too if you want to go really deep. And of course, wherever you are in the series, do listen to the entire Levels of Consciousness series, those which spans episode 151 to 155. All right, that's me. I'm signing off, and I'll see you next week for the next episode on the conventional levels of human development.